Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, brought to you by LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Wellness and Fitness, Global Schoolwear by Tommy Hilfiger. We got a great doubleheader today. Right off the top, it's the end of the month, but happy Mental Health Month. We've never needed more than now to pay attention. So May was Mental Health Month. Pay attention. Sheila Thielen, she's a master figure skating spin coach. She's the president and designer of Vestibular Training Services, which applies vestibular training for the general public, for rehab, autism, sensor athletes. She's returning along with Kurt Mango. Kurt is a former NCAA gymnastics champion. He's been on so many times. He's a speaker, former phys ed teacher. He's the author of the outstanding Becoming a True Champion, and the Sports Doctor's In. We'll do some emails. So, Sheila Thielen, welcome back.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Sheila, give us some background on you, the figure skating world, and your harness, and this whole vestibular attention that you're making famous. Give us some background.
Well, I open up all of these with, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a PT, I'm not an OT. I'm a master figure skating coach. And what that world has brought me in working with, I think we figured out almost 500,000 kids worldwide, that we started noticing things in our athletes and in our children that just couldn't be explained away. And really, what we become is master vestibular geniuses of that eyes and ears and brain balance. And really, as skating coaches, we didn't even know it.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, the ability to know where you are in space and imagine a triple jump or a quadruple jump in the world of figure skating is a master achievement. And the idea that you could train it and pay attention to it, as well as, you know, your harness, which gave these kids, these athletes, the ability to safely practice some of these incredibly physical jumps, you know, right off the top, you know, Sheila, how much I paid for decades over the safety of these young hotshot figure skaters who already are very serious, doing a lot of jumping by the time they're, gosh, adolescents. Safety is the measure. And when did you start working with the harness?
Well, I've owned a harness company for, I've been working in harnesses for about 30 years.
Really?
Oh, it's a long time of harnesses. And, you know, and,
you must
and
be,
we've really
you
over the years
spinner.
Really worked out the glitches. Yeah, we've really got a really perfect product that's lightweight and really strong and perfect for the kids and comfortable, you know, in a way that none of the other ones were out there.
You know, I've seen them at the rink forever, but do they allow the harness world to have something like that at home and work with the harness, or is it strictly used
yeah, you're gonna
in
love
the gym
this.
Setting?
Half our sales go into people's homes because they, you know, the parents even see the power of the product even at the rink or online and just have it installed in their homes. It's very easy, just an eye bolt. Boom, up you go.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Kids really can train at home. And that's the video that you've seen of our little Isabella that we both work with, Dr. Weil. Yeah, look at that little Isabella. Oh, she's so fast.
Yes, you know, she's one of our little hot shots. Plus the fact on the third show, I have to correct you, it's Dr. Weil. But that's okay,
sorry.
Sheila. Because I've been spelling your name, I've spelled your name wrong for three shows.
That's okay, I keep calling Lyle.
Bella is a little 8-year-old from upstate New York that is already magical, and orthotics have added to her magic over the past few months. A funny quick story, because I've got this group of 4 or 5 10-year-olds, 9, 10-year-olds. And the reason it's so relevant is my 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. I can't believe it's 11 years since he won, although I'm still celebrating. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in skates. So the funny story is, when I was bragging about some of these kids, and I had that video from Bella, I said, here's, you know, some of my hotshot 9, 10-year-olds. Got a message from her, hey, Dr. Bob, I'm only 8. So I told her I would correct it real quickly on the social media. But again, you have kids this age doing double jumps all week, and the tremendous challenges of these kinds of physical demands, and the ability to land softer and the ability to spin safer is a huge deal. Over your career, you know, when we think back to some of these women champions, Dorothy Hamill and Katarina Witt and some of these other champions, none of them did triples, these women, these great, great champions over Bushel Kwan. And today you got these kids in the rink doing these kinds of jumps. So the amazing thing is how you've adapted, and I want you to talk about that, your vestibular training services. You know, you have a key word, you talk about sensor athletes, and this is what we've just been talking about, hand-eye coordination, balance, stability, and the application of this to, like, autism and disabilities has become a big deal, hasn't it?
It's so exciting, you know, to see, you know, and the example I always make is, you know, it's basically applying world-class figure skating vestibular training to the general
Bingo.
Public.
Yes.
And, you know, and the general public
applications
of it. I want
to learn how to do a triple jump. Right. You know, and the one of the supporters of the Sports Doc for a long time, guest of mine for a long time, Suzanne Gray and Wright Fit, who's written, I don't know, 2 or 3 books on the value of exercise for autism right off the bat, how valuable this is, and having some of these other tools. And what you're finding out, I guess, is the age variability for vestibular training, it ends up scientifically and medically being, you know, the centrifugal force. And those stimulations are great for our brain, right? Isn't that the point?
Absolutely. It's, you know, when your eyes and your ears and your brain all balance together, you can do amazing things in your life. And really connecting both sides of the brain with the midline cross is really key to the product, too. So it's vestibular, it's midline cross, it's axis, it's balance, it's the proprioception of understanding where your feet and your body are to your brain. All of those pieces. And really what we're seeing, too, is all of the kids comment on how happy they are and the dopamine, you know, going through. And especially in a time where they're not getting enough movement and dopamine in their brains, it's really a wonderful product addition.
Do you see something like this being added to like a gym class type of curriculum? The ability adding something like this, and when we're thinking wellness, you know, for these growing kids, like something you just mentioned. Hey, you know, their attention is increased. You know, et cetera, et cetera. That's an interesting point.
Well, and it's been fun to see through this whole process. Who's reached out to me? Everything from, of course, the autism and sensory groups, including some of the top schools in the world, have been reaching out to me and teaming up. I've also, you know, been part of several sensory festivals worldwide that have been amazing to see the, you know, all the professionals coming back and wanting to work with me after having seen the project. We've also had a bunch of EMDR specialists in the world of traumatic stress and PTSD groups reaching out to me, you know, applying the vestibular training to the EMDR research.
That's why we sent you. That's why I had our friend Matt Dahl send you a sand dune stepper. Again, the whole
isn't
sensory,
that a great product?
Yes, it really, really is. What's the website? People can get all sorts of information about you and the vestibular training, your figure skating, all of that.
Absolutely. We're at vestibulartrainingservices.com. So you got to spell vestibular, right? And
right. Well, you definitely do. You know, I like the, because it's exactly what you're talking about, you know, applying these figure skating, spinning principles, and the idea of all of that, the sensory perception. It's a big, big topic on the Sports Doctor about fall prevention in seniors and all of these things. And we're going to get back to that particular topic. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see tremendous guests, tremendous topics. Listen to whatever you would like. You go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you read an endless array of things, from things we've written for the newspapers to the exciting stuff with MVP Parent Magazine, all sorts of information and experts in the world of concussions, which is another application that we're going to be talking about with Sheila. We have a lot of excitement, great sports medicine and wellness information on Twitter at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Master Figure Skating Spin Coach Sheila Thielen. We're talking about the whole vestibular spinning application. Before we took that break, Sheila, I mentioned the fall prevention and balance enhancement. I would think physical therapy is paying attention to you.
Yep, we've had a lot of that. Yes, we've teamed up with rehabilitationhealth.com, and we're starting
Excellent.
To get in with more and more physical therapists, especially for the post-concussion work, which is
yes.
very exciting.
You know what a big deal. You know what a big deal the world. I have experts from all over the world for years about the challenges of concussions and all of these different tremendous explosion of awareness. And again, you know, the vestibular actions and brain function are so important. And that's another, very exciting area. And, you know, how young do you have some of these kids work with the harnesses in the world of figure skating, Sheila?
I put three-year-olds in it all the time. Three, four,
really?
Five, six.
Yes.
They start young, and I put in tons of little siblings, too. Like, their older sister skates, and the three-year-olds tagging along. I'm like,
yes.
Join the class,
you know,
here we go.
Yes.
And they're good at it.
Yes.
They're good.
There's a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports. It's all about, you know, we want these kids to grow up and play multiple sports. Yes, that's what we want them all to do, and that's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or a ballet dancer. And you have the challenge of, this is what I want to do every day, 5-6 days a week at these very young ages. So part of the whole educational world and challenges of the Sports Doctor, and of course, figure skating, as you know, is my real, real passion in so many ways. And the physicality of the sport, again, is getting more and more as we speak. So are all of these mental pressures. You know, we talk coaches and parents, and that's why I got to ask you also quickly how your sports psychology skills are, Sheila.
they're pretty good, but it's finding balance for children, and not just vestibular, but balance for their whole life. You know, a nice amount of family and sports and school and mixing it up so that it's not that they can do multiple sports and become really good athletes. That's the goal. But being active. We're seeing a huge batch of inactive kids, especially looking at screens all day.
You got to find the balance for that. Yes, there's no doubt about it. But when we have these special kids who are very, you see them all the time. They ain't playing anything else. All they are doing is figure skating. So that particular group, again, I call them the prodigy sports, we really have to pay attention to proper strengthening of these kids, to screening, as we start seeing activities get, more and more intense. And, because it's such, physical and mental challenges. So you're starting to see again in the world of sports performance, enhancing performance, big role also for the vestibular services. I think we've got a few minutes left, Sheila, but talk a little bit about how you see that enhancing performance.
Well, in improving any athlete or any human's brain and eye and ear balance and speeding up the brain, you'll see successes in lots of things, from reading and writing and the skills of being a human and succeeding in your life and connecting both sides of that brain, not trying to live like a dolphin on just one side of your brain at a time. These are all pieces that when you tie it all together, you see more success and happiness and feeling like you're improving and going forward. That's what humans want to feel. That's what kids want to feel. That's what adults want to feel.
Yeah,
that's the rehabilitation process.
We were talking off the air how, you know, one of the kids, they have your harness, vestibular stuff, you know, hanging in the garage. Is that something that would be a 15, 20-minute session a few times a week? Something that would be done once a week? Just quickly, how often would somebody be using this?
Most adults use it 5 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week. They just go up for one rotation, come down and balance, you know, then they rotate again, you know, they just basically do 3 sets, just like basic weightlifting concepts. But
Can they do it themselves?
I do it all the time. I love it. My whole family does.
Every time I see you on a video, I see you're the one who's, you know, pulling the string in the video. Can people do it by themselves?
No, you really need someone else to help you. Someone's got to be lifting it or running the electric spinner. But oftentimes,
Sheila, Give me the website again for all info on Sheila Thielen.
I'd love it. Thank you. It's vestibulartrainingservices.com. So I'd love to answer questions, and people can email me. I'd love to help. So I can't thank
Fantastic.
You enough.
Fantastic.
Always so
Sheila
fun.
Sheila Thielen, master figure skating coach, spin coach. Thanks so much. Hold on, Sheila. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back one of our faves, Kirk Mango. He's a former NCAA gymnastics champion. He was in the fitness teaching area with kids for, gosh, decades. He's a speaker. He's an author of one of my favorite books, Becoming a True Champion. Kirk Mango, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Great to be back, Dr. Bob. Thanks.
You know, Kirk is a contributor to our book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because he's the dad of two Division I athletes, one who's a longtime patient of mine, and we really wanted his input to be able to, you know, dealing, you know, with these kinds of areas. Kirk, give us some background on you and what led you to really get so involved in writing Becoming a True Champion. Give us some background.
Well, a lot of it had to do with seeing what's going on in our current sports culture and, from my perspective, the loss of perspective on, you know, sports and what really should come with that and winning at all costs and things of that nature. There was a lot of, it seemed to be, emphasis on an outside-in approach to success in sports rather than an inside-out approach, and I'm heavily vested in the inside-out approach, meaning it comes from the athlete themselves. It's more about what comes from them than it is what you do for them, even though both are important. So that...
Your story, Kurt, your story, who went from somebody who, this kid will never be a great gymnast, to becoming a great gymnast, I guess, is the key example of exactly what you're saying, isn't it? Talk a little bit about your story.
Okay, well, I faced a pretty adverse circumstance in high school wanting to achieve state championship level, and I was not very good at the time, and I only had a year left. And my coach basically told me that, you know, this is not something possible. This is in the not the realm of where we should be going. Let's try to think of something that's a little more realistic. Well, that's what inspired and motivated me to say, well, I get to determine my destiny. Whether I make it or achieve the goal or not, I learned a lot during that year in achieving what I wanted because I set goals that were kind of out of reach. I mean, I'm not sure I wouldn't have said much different to an athlete saying the same thing to go where I was, which was, I mean, I'd never even been in a regional competition or sectional competition, I should say, because I wasn't good enough to even qualify. And so to go from that to state championship level in a year when you're competing against people that were already on the national team in a sport like gymnastics is, you know, wasn't really heard of.
I mean, let alone an NCAA champion, right?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. But all of that was built on what happened in high school.
You know, yeah, I don't want to slough over this point when we talk on the Sports Doctor for decades about what a big deal it is with these kinds of achievements to be able to become a really elite athlete, where supposedly you were told all the time, well, you know, I don't think so, and whatever, and, you know, what it takes to grab, you know, that kind of attitude. So something like, and let alone physically, you know, as well as mentally. It's something that I think today, with all of those kinds of values that you're talking about, you know, you lived a lot of it. And then it became a big part of how long were you in phys ed as a gym teacher, Kirk?
Coach, I was coached 18 years, but I taught physical education and health for 34 plus.
Right. And you watched these changes, many of them not so good, in youth sports and the pressures and the attitudes and everything that went into it. With some dismay, I don't know how many times. How long ago was it you were on my show for the first time, Kirk? Do you have a guess?
Oh, my goodness, probably.
I mean, I don't either. What do you think?
7 years ago, 5 years ago is a long time.
Oh, easy. Yeah. I thought it might have been 10.
Might be.
You know, give or take. And the kinds of values, again, of the challenges when we're talking about scholarship athletes and the parenting the child athlete, it becomes the more serious the athlete is. Now, both your girls, Lindsay, and what's your other daughter's name?
Shayna.
Shayna, she was a soccer player?
Yeah, she played for Marquette.
Now, I don't want to say I talked Lindsay into playing at my alma mater, Louisville, but, you know, I did send the letters. But another tremendous athlete in the world of volleyball, you know, at these highest levels. And so, you know, to this day, we continue to deal with these kinds of challenges with so many overuse injuries because of overkill and too much and too aggressive. And the challenge of being the parent and or coach of these kids, how have some of your thoughts either stayed the same or changed over the decades?
You mean since the book was published?
Both.
Well, I would say as things have continued on, even beyond my retirement from teaching, the things that I've seen going on in the culture have only strengthened my belief in what I've tried to approach in becoming a true champion, and the idea that things need to come from the athlete and the person themselves, success, everything else. That's primary. That's first. That mental piece that needs to be built has to come from the athlete. There's too much focus outside the athlete, whether it's a scholarship or, you know, the national championship or the money, fame, fortune when you get into professional or elite level sports. I think that's where the loss of perspective comes in. I think the focus needs to stay on the process piece. And that to me is what's important because it goes well beyond the athletic arena. Those things that you learn to become very successful as an athlete automatically transfer in success in just about anything in life because it's the same intrinsic pieces. Now, the environment changes, the culture might change, you know, the sport might change, you might move into business or teaching or whatever, but those internal ingredients to be very good at something always stay the same.
I think it's commendable that we're seeing a lot more attention applied to these various factors, that no matter how serious this kid's sport is, we got to be talking about quality of life, we have to be talking about the health and nutrition. You have to be paying attention. I always call it the mental game, whatever level it is, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their parents or their coach, or you're just trying to stick to an exercise program, that whole mental challenge, you know, let alone what we've all lived through, you know, this past year. When was the book published, Kirk?
2013. No, 2012, excuse me. I retired in 2013. 2012.
Right. And, you know, again, we continue to see these kinds of challenges you know, so much overkill, you know, in the area of what's the website people can check out your book?
BecomingTheTrueChampion.com. Simple enough to remember, right?
It is. So if you were talking about, again, you know, those three or four bullet points that you tried to bring across, you're still teaching them and speaking about them today, that you wrote about, the things that you're really paying attention to, give us some of those again, the bullets.
Well, the first thing is understanding your own individual responsibility and ownership over what it is that you want to accomplish. You need to understand how important your role individually is in what you are seeking. That has to come pretty much first, you know, the goals and things that you want to accomplish, and understanding it's your efforts and taking those steps one day at a time, moving toward those objectives that you seek, that is primary. And not to be looking for things outside of yourself. It starts, you know, inside you or with you. And I talk about that in the book from the standpoint of the mental game, which you just previously mentioned. So, you know, goals, the CDSPH principle, commitment, discipline, sacrifice, priorities, and heart, and what those things really mean. Even your character and how important that is and what that brings to your athletic table. Then you have to learn the second part is how to apply that just to any sport. And I think that's important because the transition from the mental pieces that are essential, that's like building a house, there's the foundational pieces. Now you start to put the other framework together. That's applying it to other sports or even outside of sports, any success in pretty much anything. So that's the second piece that's important is that application piece because everything has it's integrated. It has connection. So those are the main points that I try to get across in the book.
Now, when we included you in hashtag A Sports Parents, because the last section of the book, again, was the experience of some of these great sports parents that I had the pleasure to deal with, the fact that the family is involved and the sports parent, mom and dad, is teaching these or including these principles with their young son or daughter athlete. How do you see the importance of that role of the family or the parents in making sure that these kinds of things are paid attention to?
Well, I think it's important that they focus on the pieces of support. That's what their role is, and from my perspective, it's a support, encouragement, inspiration. Other things, holding athletes or your kids accountable for the decisions and choices that they make. These are all pieces that add to the chances of success in anything. So the parent's role is important, just like a coach's role is important. However, they cannot and never will take replace of the athlete themselves. That athlete is primary.
Hey, the famous whose goal is it,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Famous whose goal is it, you know?
Yep.
And my quickie story with when Levin Lysacek, 2010 Olympic gold medalist, mentioned it before, he was 10 years old, put orthotics in his skates. A month or so after he won the Olympics, I had his mom, Tanya, wonderful woman, on the show. And I said, how did you know? Was it your goal? It was his goal. She said, you know, Dr. Weil, the kid had to be on the ice at 6:15 in the morning. I never had to wake him up. There he was in the car with his gloves on. I said, what a great answer. You know,
right.
That is. But the late Jim Vickery, my longtime colleague in sports psychology, one of his main points, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you about that. He always said, you know, but don't be a critic. So the fine line between, you know, holding your son or daughter accountable, but not being a critic. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, Kirk Mango, author of Becoming a True Champion. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. So many guests, so many topics. Listen to whatever you would like. A lot of excitement on our over 30,000 followers on Twitter at sportsdoc radio. We're talking with Kirk Mango, longtime guest. Former NCAA gymnastics champion, dad of two Division I athletes. We were talking about his listing of what really goes into parenting a young athlete, even a very, very serious young athlete. And he mentioned, you have to have these kids paying attention to discipline, holding them accountable. And I had mentioned, longtime colleague had talked about, you know, try not to be a critic. What are some of your thoughts on how you balance that, Kirk, as a sports dad?
Well, for us, it was more just from the standpoint of being supportive, you know, being there at games. One of the things I used to tell my kids or tell them a lot, whether it was soccer, volleyball, was I really enjoyed watching them play. The coaching was more left up to the coach. What I did as a parent is I sought out programs I thought that were supportive from the standpoint of the things I wanted to teach, the intrinsic principles I wanted the kids to learn, because whether they reach that scholarship that they wanted or not is those experiences beyond that athletic arena that were
you experience, one of the things we talk about, which is the challenge of when these kids are serious athletes, very young, they're playing club sports, there wasn't a more aggressive club sport than sports performance volleyball that Lindsay played. And there's so much overkill and overdue and all of these things at those kinds of level. And, you know, you with all of these fantastic principles, you know, as you watch these challenges of physical and mental overuse, how'd you pay attention to that? And do you find that that we're learning as we go along here?
Well, that's a very difficult question because, as you know, there's a fine line. You know, when your athlete says to you, I want to be a scholarship Division I athlete, whatever sport it is, having experienced that, you know the sacrifices and commitment that that is going to take, especially if they face adverse circumstances, where my oldest daughter tore her ACL and blew her ankle. And so she had, you know, to go on to college after injuries like that is a feat in of itself. And Lindsay wanting to play volleyball, which is really a very tall person sport, I mean, that's another piece that adds to it. So it's a fine line. I mean, that's why it has to come from the athlete, because you do need to push yourself to the point, both mentally and physically, where you are still able to improve and achieve what it is you want. However, overdoing it defeats the purpose of what you want.
Yeah,
anyway,
keep it in perspective with the incredible challenge, of course, of doing everything to win, and the tremendous pressure that it puts on some of these kids. Being aware, unless you live in a cave, of some of the tremendous abuse of some coaches and doctors in the youth sports world, and my co-author, the Volleyball Hall of Famer, Sharky Zartman, she includes that in her incredible beginning segment of Sports Parenting 101. We got to change the title, Kirk, from hashtag Hey Sports Parents to hashtag Hey Sports Parents and Grandparents.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's one of the great cartoons in the book, this ranting and raving with these stick figures and somebody saying, what's going on with these parents? The guy says, what are you, nuts? That's the grandparents. And these kinds of pressures, which lead to all sorts of problems, how have you seen, with your experience, the kinds of challenges that this past year has thrown in our face as parents and coaches?
Well, you know, as you know, Illinois had postponed its sports altogether for, you know, a long period of time during the pandemic. The stresses from this particular circumstance this last year and a half has been multidimensional, not just with sports, but people's lives. Yeah. You know, it's just been, I mean, it was tough for the teachers. It's been tough for the coaches. Seasons were short.
The number one challenge, wherever I had guests on, from wherever they were in the world, whatever what they were doing, again, was mental health.
Yep.
With the what you're talking about, this multifaceted, talk more about what we're exploring.
When I talk about multidimensional things with regard to the pandemic, I'm talking about schoolwork and personal associations with other people, even social events. All of those things were on a back burner for everybody. So the normal stress relievers that we typically would have, whether it was exercise as an athlete that you get, or it was social interaction, or it was even going to school and walking the halls and seeing your friends at lunch, all of that was gone. So it really played a toll on people's mental health, especially kids. That's something they had, this situation this last year, a year and a half, is something they have never experience. It's almost like a grandparent trying to relate to their kids what it was like to go through the Depression. You know, that's something, the Great Depression, that they've never experienced. Or someone explaining what the draft was like for Vietnam and trying
that's
to explain that to
their kids. Too, Kirk. You know, it's amazing because whoever you're talking about, the grandparent, the coach, the parent, the kid, we all experience this together.
Yep.
The nightmare, the deaths, all of these challenges that we're still hopefully things will continue to improve, you know, like we've seen. So again, we talk about this a lot because this is five times more than what we even have assumed it's been, where, you know, sports parents and sports coaches have to be good listeners, because these kids, who knows what they're thinking, you know?
Yep. My father-in-law, who is 90, going to turn 96 in June, said something very profound to me recently. I asked him a question because he had been through World War II and the Great Depression. He lived through those. And I said, well, what do you think about what's going on this year? This was about 4 or 5 months ago. And he said in his lifetime, now he's experienced those things, he's never seen anything like what happened this last year and a half. It's been, he said it was unbelievable. That's his perspective, coming from someone who's been through, you know, many things.
I mean, whether you are, whether you're the highest paid athlete in the world, whether you are the owner of a major, major sports team, this is what's amazing. Somehow we had a World Series. We had a Super Bowl, an NBA Finals. I don't know how we did it. And the profound challenge from A to Z, and I think, again, whether it's a 5, 6, 7-year-old, who's experiencing this, or your 98, 96-year-old father-in-law, we all, I think, understand really, you know, how important that's been. It's been the challenge in returning to school sports and trying to get, you know, that whole scenario going back. Do you find that the school system is paying big? I know you've been retired for a while, but you're in the middle of all that world. You find that they're paying the kind of attention it takes as these kids are coming back to school, including sports?
Well, I think it's been difficult for them, from the ones I've talked to. They've never had a challenge like this. They've had to, your point, this point here and the point you're getting to earlier about this challenge and how it was, you know, how do we overcome this? How do we have these championships? Yeah. It's the same thing that we're trying to
do. I can't believe, Kirk,
sports.
We got crazy on that topic. We're running out of time. Give me the website again for the book, please.
BecomingATrueChampion.com.
Really? It's, every sports parent or coach should be reading this book. Can't believe how the time flew by.
Oh,
Kirk,
my gosh,
Mango,
yeah.
Again, author, teacher. Hold on, Kirk. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor live from a beautiful day in Chicago. The Sports Doctor's In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows and guests, answer a few emails. Next week, Dave Garrison, who is a martial arts expert, he's a black belt in I don't know how many different weapon systems. He owns the Tiger Academy in the northern suburbs of Chicago, will be joining us. Hillary Loftus, who is the educational director of Working with Our Warriors, she's talking about their tremendous attention with hyperbaric oxygen. She'll be returning, again, the world of concussions. The following week, we're going to talk figure skating with Kim Ryan, figure skating coach. She's the developer of Spinergy, fantastic in-home spinning device to help these kids with their spinning techniques in the world of figure skating. And then Dr. Cynthia Daugherty, PhD, transformational coach, CBD or rather medical marijuana expert will be joining us. So some great shows coming up. We do have some emails. You know, Steve says, what was the injury that Patrick Mahomes had dealing with his big toe before the Super Bowl that he had surgery? You know, he had a what's called a plantar plate tear. The plantar plate, especially under the big toe, is a sophisticated, almost wing-like tissue that helps protect the important two bones called sesamoid bones, that whole apparatus under the ball of the foot. And that really, for quite a while, prohibited quite a bit of his movement and agility, even though he fought through it. And he really had some time off before the Super Bowl. Your ability to push off or change direction, they're very optimistic that by getting ready to return to football, that will be totally, he'll be really, really, really ready to go. But again, plantar plates can be involved under any of the metatarsal areas. Common trouble sometimes is under the second big toe, where a adjacent hammer toe deformity or other kind of abuse can cause disruption of the plantar plates. And a good foot ankle specialist, podiatrist, is who you want to see if that's a concern. Ellen says, are heel spurs surgical? Almost never, Ellen. Heel spurs are a protrusion of bone, almost always on the bottom of the heel, sometimes on the back, that develop as a result of tightness and tension of the attachment of on the bottom of the wing-like plantar fascia, which is a bottom of the foot tendon-like area that goes from the toes to the heel and is very active in stretching every step we take, let alone running and jumping. And when that traction becomes that inflamed, irritated over a long period of time, the bone fights back. It can form a spur, and sometimes that's very problematic, the actual area of that attachment. most of the time, support orthotics being the best you've got, proper shoes can really make a difference in controlling that stretching and aggravation. Plantar fasciitis is the name of the condition that can or cannot include the heel spur. Not all heel spurs hurt. 1% of the time, less than 5% of the time, no matter what is done, cortisone injections, orthotics, casting, etc., there's got to be a surgical attention to the heel spur. But almost always, it is a conservative problem. We use a lot of physical therapy, a proper exercise, and can control this very, very successfully, non-surgically. Pat says, in the book, you talk about this epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports. And can you get a little bit more specific? Pat, whether we're talking about your young 13, 14, 15-year-old son with shoulder problems because he's a very good pitcher and maybe he's throwing too many pitches, to we're talking about, again, your 12-year-old daughter who's a tennis player whose ankles are really bothering her because she's playing 5 or 6 days a week, or your 13-year-old soccer son or daughter with their knee concerns because of the amount of their club sport demands. So these are the things, as we watched over the past few decades, as youth sports has become a bigger and bigger business with traveling teams and club teams and seriousness at the junior high level and younger, we start seeing too much. One of the categories I talk about all the time, I call it the terrible twos. Too much scheduling, too aggressive playing, too soon, getting involved in faster progression too soon, and again, just downright too aggressive, where we start to see we're just doing too much. That young 11, 12-year-old figure skater who's already doing a lot of jumping in the rink is running and jumping rope and doing other jumping activities off ice, and it's too much. One of the things we make a big deal about on my show, The Sports Doctor, as well as in the book, is the mental side of the overuse. Whether it's overzealous parents, what do you mean your ankle still hurts? You got so much, these kinds of tensions, whether it's the overzealous coach or the overzealous young boy or girl themselves pushing through in that particular case. So again, if you see your son or daughter's dealing with persistent complaining, you should be talking to them all the time. How's your body feel? How do you feel with your relationship with your coach? How's all of that going? You want to be a good listener. You want to be a good communicator. So if there are problems, you can deal with them, whether it's physically or, again, mentally, discussing with coaches and or other parents. We're running out of time. It's The Sports Doctor, sportsdoctorradio.com. See you next week, everybody. Thank you.